verses 28 through 34, and we're going to look at this thought, the answer that ended the questions. The answer that ended the questions. If you remember the context of the chapter and the chapter before, they were coming to Jesus and they were asking Jesus question after question after question, and all those different things were happening, and it came to the spot in this moment that here we are at. Jesus is asked one final question, and Jesus kind of gives an answer that helps us with all the answers. I love the answer to this question. It just puts things in perspective. It's the simplicity that's found there. Let's look here what it says in verse number 28. And one of the scribes came, and having heard them reasoning together and perceiving that he had answered them well, asked him, "Which is the first commandment of all?" And Jesus answered him, "The first of all the commandments is, Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one Lord. And thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy soul, with all thy mind, with all thy strength. And this is the first commandment. And the second is like, namely this, Thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. There is none other commandment greater than these." And the scribe said unto him, "Well, master, thou hast said the truth, and there is one God, and there is none other but he. And to love him with all the heart and with all the understanding and with all the soul of all the strength, and to love his neighbor as himself is more than all whole burnt offerings and sacrifices." And when Jesus saw that he answered discreetly, he said unto him, "Thou art not far from the kingdom of God." And no man after that durst ask him questions. And we looked last week in Sunday school and Sunday morning about the foolish questions that were asked. We looked a few weeks before in Mark chapter number 11. We looked at the parable in Mark chapter number 12. So it came to a spot that after he said this, it says at the end, and no man after that durst ask him any questions. This was the answer that finished all the questions. And I truly believe that this is the answer to a lot of the questions we have as Bible believers, as God believers. It kind of boils things down and puts things in perspective. Do you love God? So tonight we're going to look at it from this morning, the perspective about our love for God. And then this morning we'll look at that. And tonight we're going to look at loving thy neighbor as thyself. So continuing on in the book of Mark in Sunday school and Sunday evening, this morning in regular service, we're going to have I Am Not Ashamed. So I'm looking forward to that. But let's have a word of prayer. Ask God's help this morning during Sunday school class. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, I thank you for today. I thank you for your word. Thank you for all the wonderful opportunities you give us. Lord, here right now, we have the opportunity and chance to serve you. Lord, we have the opportunity to learn of you. And Lord, I pray that you would ease our hearts and our minds of all the different distractions that are out there. Lord, not be worried about what other people are saying, what other people are doing. But instead, Lord, consider what your word has for us today. Lord, we know this needs to fall on many people's ears. Helps us understand so much of the truths and put so many things in perspective. And Lord, that you would look, and Lord, that you would help us today and who you speak to. And Lord, you would speak to our hearts in a powerful, mighty way. Lord, we pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Okay, so let's look here. The first thing I want you to think about is, it's found there in verse number 30. Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy soul, with all thy mind, and with all thy strength. This is the first commandment. So after being asked all these questions, question after question after question, Jesus is just, and once again, they were tempting him, they were trapping him, they were doing whatever they could to try to make him look foolish in front of the people. And he boils it all down to this one thing. And I think it's something that we should ask ourselves. Do we really truly love God? Or how do we love God? Because people come across and they have rule after rule after rule, guideline after guideline after guideline, and they do whatever they can to trap him. They do whatever they can to ensnare him. They do whatever they can to get him to be critical, do whatever they can to cause him to feel like he's not where he is or where he belongs to be. And what happens? He boils it all down. Simplicity. Do you love God the way you should? Because I know sometimes people want to focus on this. Well, here, I did this because of that. Or the reason why I did this or that. Sometimes it just boils down to this question. Do you love God? Do you love God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind, with all your strength? Because if you love God the right way, you know what's going to happen? You're going to love people the right way. If you love God the right way, all these other things that seem like it's foolishness and it's like, well, I don't know if I can do this because this person, no. Do you love the Lord? Because if you truly have a love for God, everything else is going to work out. If you truly have a intimate love and a desire and burning love, this group back then, they tried to say they followed the law. There was over 604 original laws in the Mosaic Law. And at this point in time, they had added more laws upon more laws and more precepts and this and that to where it became such a ridiculous thing that they began questioning. And we've seen that throughout the Gospel of Mark. And it comes to the spot that all they cared about was law. All they cared about was rules. All they cared about was regulations. They had a life that was so restrictive, but they had no heart. They had no love. And once again, in chapter 11, I showed you that he called out the hypocrisy. Chapter 12, he does the same thing about the Caesar thing. Chapter 12, it talks about the guy that had, the woman that had seven different husbands. You know, ridiculous question after ridiculous question after ridiculous question. And they were so focused on other things, they missed the most important thing. And this man comes to him. And if you look in the story of Matthew, I believe it's the same story that's there. It says that he's trying to tempt him. But it seems as if in this story, he comes with a little bit of a different heart. And when he says this question here in verse number 28, which is the first commandment of all? Once again, there's 604 commandments. If you go back to Exodus chapter number 20, the first of the 10 commandments is found there. But Jesus boils it all down. You can have your 604 laws and you can have all your other regulations and all your other stipulations. But he says all the laws and the prophets hang on these two things. Love God the right way and love people the right way. Everything else is going to fall upon those things. And that's when he asks this question, what is the first commandment of all? And it seems like this man here has been hearing it, and they went and they reasoned together. It says in verse 28, and one of the scribes came, and having heard them reasoning together, talking about there was a reasoning together amongst the religious leaders. They had stopped the mouths of the Sadducees, and they were glad because the Pharisees didn't like the Sadducees. They had stopped the mouth of the Herodians. They had stopped the mouths of even the religious leaders in the earlier in the chapter. And it all boils down to this. It says here, heard them reasoning together, and perceiving that he had answered them well, asked him, which is the first commandment of all? So he's saying, in a sense, he says, okay, stop with all these other laws. Tell me what it is I'm supposed to focus on. This was his answer. You know, if you want an outline this morning, I don't know if it's an outline type message, but there's a relationship in the commandments, there's a reference for the commandments, there's the rank of the commandments. What's the relationship? It's found in verse 29. And Jesus answered him, the first of all the commandments is, hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one Lord. There it is. He says, hey, I want you to understand something. Here's the relationship is that there is one God. This is one God. There is no other God. And I think they would say that, of course, there's only one God, but they're not serving him. They're not believing in him. They're not trusting in him. They have their idols in their lives. They've made these regulations and these rules, their idols. And he says, look, I want you to hear this. He says, the Lord, our God is one Lord. We got to remember that. And the reason why we love God is because he first loved us. It's not something that we sought after. It's not something we thought, oh, it'd be great to love God. No, he sought us. He loved us. The reason why we love him is because he first loved us, it tells us in the New Testament. We don't forget that. The second thing I want you to think about, if you want to consider the reference for the commandments, is found back in Deuteronomy, at least for this first one, it's found in Deuteronomy chapter 6. Listen to what it says, Deuteronomy chapter 6, verses 4 and 5. Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one Lord. And thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thine heart, with all thy soul, and with all thy might. And that sounds pretty similar to what? It sounds very similar to what's found in the next verse. It's the same thing that was said in Deuteronomy. He takes it and he even adds something to it when he says in verse number 30, he says, and thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy soul, with all thy mind. He says, well, is it right for it to add something? Jesus was the original lawgiver. So yes, he is just giving extra emphasis. He is there and he is explaining. He is even giving a little bit more understanding to it. He says, look, you got to learn how to love God the right way. If you'll just learn to love God the right way, everything else will work out. If you learn to look past the hypocrisy that's found in chapters 11 and chapters 12, and this man here is a scribe, and he's there, and he's part of that Pharisaical type group, and he's coming, and he's asking that commandment. And then you see here at the end of verse number 30, 32, he responds. It seems like he's putting two and two together. And he says, and the scribe said unto him, well, master, thou hast said the truth, for there is one God, and there is none other but he. Now, if you look at the other questions that Jesus asked, nobody ever responded. They all marveled. But here, at least in the last couple verses, but here he's saying, look, you know what? There is no another but he agrees with him. And then he says in verse 33, he takes it a step farther and to love with all the heart and with all the understanding and with all the soul, and with all the strength, and to love his neighbor as himself. He says, you know what? That's huge. There it is. He's saying that makes sense. And then he says this comment at the end. He says, it's more than all whole burnt offerings and sacrifices. They were so enriched in their doctrines and enriched in their sacrifices. And Isaiah talks about how God, the Father, got tired of the sacrifices because their heart was far from him. But they would kill sacrifices to honor him. He says, I'm tired of the outside things. I'm tired of the outside show. He says, I want your heart to be right. And he's saying, you know what? To love God that way is more than all. Not just some, more than all. You take all those sacrifices, you take all those rules, you take all those things. He says, if you could learn to love God this way, all those other things, you know what? To love him that way is more important than all those things. Now, this is an individual who's a scribe, and usually the scribes are part of the Pharisees. And with this, they were religious leaders of the day. So he would have been someone who had followed this, and he had lived his life after all these rules and all these guidelines. And look what it says in verse 34. Jesus responds, and when Jesus saw that he answered discreetly, he said unto him, thou art not far from the kingdom of God. He said, you're close to understanding it. No rule is going to get you to heaven. It's just not going to happen. No rule, no guidelines is going to get you there. No standard is going to get you there. And that's what he's saying to him. Look, you're close. There's only one way through to heaven. That's through Jesus Christ. And there's a lot of people who get close to the understanding and said, you know what? I understand and I believe about God. I believe about Jesus Christ, but I'm not just going to put my faith in him. They're close, but they're not going to get there. There's only one way to heaven. That's through Jesus Christ. Unless you've been blood bought, unless you've been cleansed through the blood of Jesus Christ, it's just not going to happen. But you see the scribe, he's come, and it seems, even though it says in Matthew that he was trying to tempt him at the beginning, it seems like something came on and something clicked, and he said, look, you're close to it. But how many times have we been close to being right with God, and it's clicking, and it makes sense, and we look at that, and we say, that's what I need. I agree. And that's when I read these verses, I'm thinking, that's what I need. I need to learn to love him better. I need to learn to love him with all my mind. I need to learn how to love him with all my heart, with all my soul, with all my strength. I need God. I need to understand if I love God the right way and I learn how to love people the right way, you know what? Everything else is going to be just fine. So today, let's look at this a little bit. And then if you were looking at the rank of the commandments, you see the first one. It says, this is the first commandment at the end of verse number 30. You see, these two commandments are given. Love the Lord your God and love your neighbor as thyself. They're all there, but there's a priority. You have to learn how to love God or you're never going to learn how to love people. Because there's people in this world that just are not lovely. There are people in this world that are hard to love. But if you love God, you're going to love the things that God loves. If you hate God, you know what you're going to do? You're going to hate the things that God hates. I mean, you're going to love the things that God hates. And that's when the challenge is that we look at ourselves and we ask this question, do I love him the right way? Do I love him supreme? Even if you go back to the first 10 commandments, the first 4 commandments were in relationship with God. The next 6 commandments were in relationship with others. Everything in life should flow from a heart of love for God. How I respond to people should flow. Hey, I love God because I love God. I'm going to treat people this way. Hey, I'm going to love my wife as Christ loved the church. Why? It's because I love God. Everything should flow. It should just flow as a love for God. It's something that we should desire. And that's where you come to this commandment. It's so simplistic. It comes to the spot. It's not all about the rules. It's about a relationship. One preacher put it this way. Rules can make a man moral, but rules can never make a man righteous. Only Christ can do that. So he specifically says, and we say, okay, well, how do I love God? Then he specifically gives us 4 different things, 4 different ways to love the Lord, 4 different things to look at here. First thing I want you to think about is he talks about your heart. He says, and thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart. He begins here with your will, our emotions, the center of our seat of our life where we make our decisions. He starts here. He says, and now if you make this choice, learn to love the Lord your God with all your heart. I think about this story in Revelation chapter number 2. We think about that church of Ephesus that most people would have said, that's that perfect church. Boy, they are busy working the Lord. Boy, they are doing all these things that everything on the outside looks really good. But what do they say to him? What does God say to him? I have somewhat against thee. And what was the condemning fact? He says, you have left your first love. He says, you made a choice at some point in some time. I stopped loving God with all my heart. And what it all boils down to in our lives, and we sit there and we wonder, should I do this? Should I do that? And sometimes, and once again, I love rules. I love regulations. I love standards. I love guidelines. I love knowing, you know, there's laws out there that we like to follow, and we're glad because there would be chaos, all those other things. But what it all boils down to is if we really, truly love God, we're going to love the things he loves. We're going to hate the things he hates. It's going to make it very simplistic. And that's when this scribe looks at him and says, well, what is the first commandment of all? What's the most important thing? And he says, look, learn to choose to love God with all your heart. God wants you to choose him. God wants you to choose him day by day. You need to renew your love day to day. What Jesus is saying here is we're just to love God without pretense. It's supposed to be a genuine love. It's not a love because some preacher got up and did it, or because your parents made you do it, or because if you didn't do it, you couldn't hold a position. It's that you see him, you understand him. It's like, I love him. I choose to love him. I see what he's done for me. I understand all the things that, and I make this choice with my heart, with all my heart. I choose God. I choose him. I want to love him with every, I want it to be not something that is fake. I don't want it to be something that is not genuine. I want it to be something that is real. We must be genuine in our love for him. We see here in verse number 14, they were sitting there and they bragged about Jesus. They gave him compliments and they gave him compliments, but they were trying to entrap him. They were trying to ensnare him. And so many times people were out there and they put on this show and they speak with like in beautiful words and eloquent words about how much they love him, but their heart is far from him. And he comes here and he says, look, love him with your heart. Next thing, not only is it love him with your heart, he uses this word soul. He says, thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all your heart and with all thy soul. Now the soul involves the idea of the emotions. We're not supposed to love God in some type of dry, antiseptic type love. We are supposed to be an emotional love for him. And I know different people have different ways. I've seen grown men cry because of the love they have for God. I've seen other men whose heart is tender and it's not a show. But it's something that we've done with our souls. It's something that we do. It should be emotional. It's not some type of robotic thing. It's something that touches the most intimate details of our lives. We're supposed to love him with all of our emotional self. We're supposed to say, hey, I choose to love God and I choose to love him with all of me, which includes my soul. Then you see here where it says, with all your heart, with all your soul, and then with all your mind. I think it's great that he adds that in there because that's a whole nother thought process in the day and time we live in. Our mind. What do you think about? Most people would say the things you think most about are the things you care most about, the things you love the most. Where does your heart and your mind go when no one else is around? When you have free time? When you're there and there's nothing else to really, you can think about whatever you want, nobody else is there, where does your heart draw to? When you think about that first love that's mentioned in Revelation chapter number 2, when you remember first being in love, what is it that you always thought of? You thought of that one you loved. You couldn't get over that one that you love. It was continually on your heart and continually on your mind, continually there. And that's what they're saying here about God. And this is the thought that comes along with it when it comes to talking about loving God with all your heart, all your mind, and all your soul. It's the idea that he's first in my thoughts. I know sometimes we live in a day and time where we feel like, oh, before I make this decision, I got to check with my wife, or I got to check with my husband, or what's so-and-so going to think about this, or what's so-and-so. You know, it's living with the fear of the Lord. The fear of the Lord is this idea that I love him so much, I don't want to disappoint him. I don't want to fail him. And that Bible says that's the beginning of wisdom. And I truly believe that when he says that you put him first in your mind is what you think about really truly reveals what you love. And this involves the intellect in our life for the Lord, how we live for the Lord. This love is not a mindless, it's not empty-headed. It's something that we understand that he first loved him. We meditate on him. We make a constant decision with our heart to love him. We let it emotionally affect us. And then we continue over and over and over in our hearts to say we love him, because as we think about him, you know what's going to happen? You're going to love him more. And then it goes the next step. He says, and with all your strength. Literally, he's demonstrating that we would give our energy to this. It's going to show up where you're at. Your love's going to show up. It's going to be something impossible to hide. I've seen, you know, whether it's a newlywed or somebody that's newly in love, and you see them and there's a smile on their face and you see that they're there and there's just a smile there. Why is it? You know, you're not going to be able to hide it because you have such a love for them. And sometimes people have testimonies and they come to a spot that they get so excited about the love of the Lord and all the things that God has done for them, that the point is that we come to this realization, I love the Lord and I want people to know that. I want people to understand that. You think about the time when the lady had came and she had was wiping the Jesus's feet with her tears and with her hair. And there was a Pharisee and talked about, and he thought in his heart and his mind, he says, if he knew who that woman was, he wouldn't even let her anywhere near her. And the Bible talks about the reason why she was so emotional was why? Because she loved him much. It shows up. Sometimes I wonder if people even like God. Sometimes you don't hear people talk about him. They're ashamed of him. They don't. This morning we're going to talk about, I am not ashamed. What exactly are we ashamed of? Because when you go to Romans 1, verse 16, it talks about the gospel of Christ. Are we ashamed of Jesus? Are we ashamed of the purpose of the gospel and the fact that it saves people? No. Are we ashamed of the power of the gospel, how people get saved? Are we ashamed of the plan of the gospel as to the Greek, Jew first, then to the Greek? What, and those different things, what is it exactly or is it that we're ashamed of? Why is it that we don't want to tell anybody? It's because we don't love them like we should. Always boils down to a heart matter. The strength shows that in our physical bodies, it will show that there is a love for him. True love for Jesus is always carried out by the physical man. And it's not in some type of form of ritual. It's not in some type of form of just standard and rule. Because once again, they come naturally as you love the Lord. The Bible even says in 1 John 3:18, my little children, let us not love in word, neither in tongue, but in deed and in truth. Indeed and in truth. He says there it's enough just people saying, oh, I love you. Oh, I love you. Hey, I love you. No, show it with truth and with your actions. You show your love. You choose who you want to love. And that's what means loving him with all your heart. Soul means that it's an emotional thing. It should not be something that's dry. It should not be something that's just robotic. It's not something that should just continue on. And that's when he looks at this man and he says, you make this choice and you allow God to touch the innermost part of your being. He becomes your thought process. And then it shows up in your life and in your strength. So that's what it all boils down to. Question that answered, the answer that ended all the questions. He's like, well, what about this? And what do you love God? Sometimes people come up to me and says, I don't know what to do with my wife, or I don't know what to do with my husband, don't know what to do with my children. And the question is, do you love the Lord? What does that have to do? It has to do with every part of us. You know, if you have a problem with somebody in a relationship and you act in the wrong way, your love for God is the thing that's in question. It's your heart that's there. Is your heart right? Because the Bible says, and we're going to look at this tonight, that you should treat your neighbor as yourself. It talks about that quote, quote, golden rule, you know, and it's the idea of treating others the way you want to be treated. And we're going to look at those things tonight. And he gives that example of the Good Samaritan. And we fall so short of that. Why is that? Because we're trying to love people on our own, but it's impossible for us to love them. But as we love God, God is going to teach us and show us and lead us and direct us how we should love others. So I think it all boils down to this. Do you love God? Do you truly love God? Because if you truly love the Lord, you're not going to get offended when somebody does something little or small. You're not going to get overworked up and get all upset. He says it here. I mean, Jesus continues. He has been berated with question after question after questions. He is looking in the literal face of the people who are getting ready to crucify him in just a very short time. And how does he treat him? He looks at him and says, there's only one God, and you need to learn how to love God the right way. And wow. To me, it's like, what I do? I wouldn't even pay attention to him. Hey, you're not going to listen to me anyway, so I'm not going to talk to you. How many times do we want to say that? Hey, you don't care what I have to say. And he says, no, This is, if you really, and it seemed like this man, of all the people they've asked the questions so far in the last chapter, couple of chapters, he comes to the point that he seems like he's sincere. It says that in verse 28, that he's reasoning together and he's perceiving that he answered them well. He understands all the rights that he asked. And then even at the end, he's kind of putting two to two together and says, you know what? There is none other but he, in verse 33, and to love him. And he says, if you do all these things, I see how they're more important than the burnt offerings. I see how they're more important than the sacrifices. Why are they more important? Because if you love him, you're going to give the burnt offerings. If you love him, you're going to do the sacrifices. If you love him, you're going to follow every guideline. I was going through the book of Psalms here recently, and there was one of this, and I don't know, remember exactly what chapter, so it's not going to be an exact quote, but it talks about how the fear of love is the beginning of knowledge or wisdom. But then it says, and you'll learn how to love his commandments. You actually develop a desire to love the things he tells you you shouldn't do and the things you should do. You say, well, how in the world do I love God's commandments? It's because you learn to love him. It's not a chore because you have such an infatuation with the one who's giving the commandments. Of course I want to do what he tells me to do. Tell me to love my wife, I'm there. Tell me to submit to my husband. Oh, I don't know, is that right nowadays? Yes, if you love the Lord, you're not going to have a problem with that. You're not going to have a problem with authorities when it comes to your life, whether it be church or outside where you work at or even government type things, because he's told me to do this and I love him. And because I love him with all my heart, and I love him with all my soul, and I love him with all my mind, I love him with all my strength, it's going to show up. But why do we question it? It's because our love, there's something wrong with it. There's many times it's lacking. Well, you don't know what I'm going through. And he says, look, it boils down to this. As it's found in verse 29. First of all, the commandments is, hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one Lord. There's one God. It's right there. He brings everything down to a simplistic answer. There's only one God. Now love him the way he deserves to be loved. So I enjoy this passage because it breaks through so many different barriers. People like to make excuses. People like to make reasons. I like to do that. I like to. Why does it say love thy neighbor as thyself? Why doesn't it just say love your neighbors? Because people love themselves. There is a self-worth. There is a self. You don't want yourself to be harmed. You want to make sure. And so that's why he says, he compares. He says, if you're going to love your neighbor, make sure you love them the way that you would love yourself, the way you want to be treated. Why is that? Because we have that self-worth. And he's saying, if we will learn, and we'll look at that tonight, but here it is. Do you truly love God? And as we come to this close of this thought and this message, this is something where it all breaks through. It cuts through everything. It gives the answer that needs to be heard, and the answer that needs to be considered. Do I truly love God? We can all sing, oh, how I love Jesus. You know, we can all sing that. But are we singing a lie? I mean, when they kept on doing all these rituals and all these sacrifices and living according and giving this idea that they were holy, but their hearts are far from God, we look at that and that makes us disgusted. But like with this scribe, let's consider this. All the heart, all the understanding, all the soul, all the strength. Loving neighbor yourself, that's a hard thing to do. But if I learn how to do that, that oversees everything else. So tonight, this morning, it's just a simple question is, how well do you love the Lord? I know it's a question that is very personal. And that's how Jesus breaks it all down. After listening to all these questions, after question, it's the same question that we could ask. When he asked about the taxes, the truth comes to Jesus. Well, do you love God? Well, if you love God, then render unto God what is God's. Render unto Caesar what Caesar's. Don't let these taxes just sit here and throw you off for your love for God. Because that's what happens so often. We get focused and worried about so many other things, we forget about what's most important, God. What about the guys that are asking the questions about the wife that had seven different husbands and seven brothers and this and that? Do you love the Lord? Because if you love the Lord, you'll believe what his word says. His word says there is a resurrection. His word says in all those other things, you can trust God because you can trust him because you love him. Over and over in our lives, we need to check our love for him. We need to check our love for the Lord, check the love for God. And this morning, I would encourage you, how's your love? How do you love him today? So, Pastor, you don't understand this person. No, I'm asking you if you love the Lord. Because if you love the Lord, he's going to enable you to love. Well, Pastor, you don't know what I'm going through. Do you love him? That's where it all boils down to. Is this technically the first commandment? This is the greatest commandment. And then the other ones like it, as we're going to look at tonight. Love thy neighbor as thyself. And the Bible even talks about how on those two commandments, all the law is hung. Everything else is answered when you love God the right way. And he teaches you how to love others. The answer that finished all the questions, that ended all the questions, it's right here. And we come to the Lord, Lord, why this, that? Do you love me? If you love me, go ahead and trust me. If you love me, you're going to love my commandments. Let's go ahead and forward a prayer.